Hello, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast, your weekly 7-minute biblical leadership lesson. This series is called Leading People into Financial Freedom. We hope you will find it helpful in your financial growth. If you would like to listen to past episodes or to download the notes, please go to www.outlookchurch.co.za/mustardseedleadership. Now, here's today's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast. We're doing a series called Leading People into Financial Freedom. And this is part three, but it's the first part of a two-parter called Finance and Lordship. We're going to talk about what does it mean to have your finance under the lordship of Jesus, or whose lordship is it under? So I'm going to read a well-known scripture to you from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 25. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" And so the passage continues, and it's a beautiful description Jesus gives about which lord are you under when it comes to finance. And we're going to look at that today. Over the last 2 weeks, we looked, remember, firstly at God as our source. He wants to be source of our provision. And then last week, we looked at the grace that God has for finance. And now we've got to take that grace that God has made available and begin to implement it in our lives. So next step then is to identify. Let's start with an honest assessment. Who really is the boss? Who is Lord of your finances? Three options. Options number one is the default option. Default option, you're born into the world with a sinful nature. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. You are born serving money. That's what the world lives for money. You hear little sayings like money makes the world go round, time is money. All of these things, the whole world lives under the control of money. That's option one, the default option. The second option is actually a deceptive option because it doesn't actually exist. But many people think, no, money doesn't control me. I control money. Nope, you're deceived. There is no third option. Jesus didn't say you cannot serve both God and money or yourself. No, it's God or money. So sometimes we think, no, I'm in control of my money. You're not. Either money is controlling you, or you've intentionally, option three, the faith option, put your money under the lordship of Jesus. And that's what we are going to be exploring today and next week. So the goal today, an honest assessment of whether your finances are still under money as your master, or have you transferred them under the lordship of Jesus. So what are a couple of symptoms? I want to list four symptoms you might recognize in your own life and say, eesh, okay, that's me. Money is still in control. So the first one is the one Jesus pointed to the most in this passage, and that is worry. Financial worry and stress and pressure. And this is so prevalent, and this is a huge one. Worry is the sign that you're looking to the wrong master as provider and protector. Worry is counterfeit faith. You're believing for a negative outcome rather than trusting God for the positive one. And just as an example, so many marriages, people might come and say, "Pastor, we've got a marriage problem." But when you dig, you realize they don't have a marriage problem. They have a finance problem, which is causing so much stress and pressure, which they take out on each other. And actually, the root of so many broken relationships and marriages is actually this thing of financial pressure. The second symptom is a poverty mentality, which I've spoken about before and will mention a few times through the rest of this course as well. And this verse, Jesus carried on in verse 26. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable?" That's the key word right there. Are you not much more valuable than they? And we've spoken about it before. If you don't know how to receive your value, your security, identity, and value from your Heavenly Father, then you're going to try and earn it from the world. And that's where poverty mentality comes from. Poverty mentality means you are basing your self-worth on how much stuff you have or how much money you make. If you don't know how valuable you are to your Heavenly Father, you will try and find your value from the father of this world, money. If you don't know how to receive value, love, security, and identity from the Father, you'll be forced to earn it from the world. This is the root of a poverty spirit. Next one I want to look at, though, is quite an interesting one. Third symptom of money as your master is excessive busyness. Look what Jesus said. Pagans run after all these things. There's a sense of urgency running. Now, God blesses hard work. We call to work hard as unto the Lord. But this workaholic type syndrome, and remember, Satan's strategy when Pharaoh still had the Israelites in slavery in Egypt, his strategy was make them work harder, take away their straw, keep the same quota, get them working harder so that they cannot give any attention to what God is saying. And that's exactly what the world is doing right now. That's still Satan's strategy, getting people so busy chasing money that they don't actually give any real thought to God and what God is saying to them. And then the last one I want to add in as well, I've called it spiritual drift. It says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In other words, when money's still your master, in your heart you could be saying, Jesus, you my Lord, I want to pursue you. But if you haven't actually brought your finance under the lordship of Jesus, your heart is torn. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. You'll love one, hate the other, despise one, serve the other. Your heart is torn between these two things. If your mind, in your mind you want to serve God, but your heart always wanders back to serving money. So let me land with a solution. What is the solution? Well, Matthew 6 verse 33, we know that verse hopefully well. It says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Notice that it starts with a vision change. Seek first, seek first. Starts in our hearts, what's your vision? Whose kingdom are you actually building? If you're pursuing Jesus' kingdom, then Jesus will provide. As long as you're still pursuing your kingdom under money as your master, then it's a conditional promise. You can't expect God to provide when you're pursuing your own kingdom. So be honest, whose kingdom are you really seeking? It is a conditional promise. Provision follows priority. So, big idea today I want us to grab hold of. Either money is your master or Jesus is your master. You have to choose your Lord. Now, next week, we're going to look at something fascinating for me is how do we take a step to prophetically make sure that Jesus remains the master of our money. That's what we're going to be looking at next week. This week, I need you to answer these questions. One, when you look through that list of symptoms of serving money, do any of them pierce your heart and why? Number two, based on your answer to that first question, who really is in control of your finances, money or Jesus? It's so important that we come to this assessment and, if necessary, repentance, so that the rest of the things we teach in this series, we can then take hold of. And then thirdly, before studying next week's topics on how to make Jesus Lord of your finances, are you willing to say yes even before you know what the Bible says? That's the challenge for you right now. If you've done this assessment, if you've realized, wow, my heart is still controlled by money, I want Jesus to be my Lord, well, are you willing to say yes to next week's teaching even before you know what it is? That's going to be the test. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to see you then. Until then, God bless and bye for now.